My guest at this time is Lila Rose. She is the founder and president of the pro-life group Live Action. Just days ago, the Obama administration imposed stringent new regulations against e-cigarettes and tobacco products, saying it was a matter of protecting the health of children. Yet less than 6 weeks ago, the same Food and Drug Administration extended the use of the controversial abortion drug known as RU486 from the first 7 weeks of pregnancy up to the first 10 weeks. In response, Live Action has produced a video featuring OBGYN Anthony Levitino explaining what an unborn child is like at that stage of development.
At 9 weeks, for example, the baby will be almost an inch long, and if she looks carefully, she might be able to count the fingers and toes.
And he also goes on to explain what RU486 does and what the complications can be.
The failure rate increases as the pregnancy progresses. If failure occurs, she will usually be offered a surgical abortion. For the mother, medical abortion often causes abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, and heavy bleeding.
Lila, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
For those who don't follow the debate closely or just aren't familiar with this aspect of it, briefly explain what RU486 does.
Sure. So RU486 is a drug cocktail. There are two drugs that are given to a woman, and then she's ultimately self-administering them. And increasingly, what the FDA just did to loosen up regulations is there's more self-administering. And one drug ultimately kills the preborn child, so that's in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy. The heart's beating typically, the brain is forming, you know, leg and arm buds. So the child is, by the end of the first trimester, has all its internal organs and body parts, just needs time and nourishment to grow. So you're talking about a fairly developed preborn child. And the first drug kills the preborn child. The second drug induces labor. So it's a very powerful drug that basically makes the woman bleed out her entire pregnancy as well as the preborn child, you know, and that process can take up to 2 days for the woman. And what the FDA just did, which is really awful for the health of women, especially young girls who might be given this drug, is they've basically removed medical supervision now for those last few weeks in the first trimester, meaning that a girl up through 10 weeks of pregnancy, a teen girl could get these drugs, self-administer the pills, and without any parent's knowledge or consent, even in many states, be bleeding out her pregnancy, ultimately a forced miscarriage, without a doctor involved.
And Lila, as your materials show and the video shows as well, is that you believe that RU486, this cocktail, is dangerous to women's health even at 7 weeks. What's the impact of pushing it to 10, particularly when you factor in the reduced medical supervision?
One of the biggest impacts is that the later the drug is administered in pregnancy, so meaning, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks versus 7 weeks, the higher the likelihood of the pregnancy of the preborn child not being miscarried, or the preborn child is killed by the first drug, but the second drug is not able to induce a full miscarriage. What this means, Greg, is that this girl or this woman has to go back for a second abortion procedure, which, by the way, is a moneymaker for groups like Planned Parenthood, who are now making maybe $400, $500 on selling the drugs, and then they make another $500, $600 on giving a surgical abortion because the first drug, you know, the later in pregnancy, the less effective inducing labor is in the early with a preborn child, even if the child has been killed. So basically, you're talking about two abortion procedures. The later in pregnancy, RU486, the abortion pill is administered. The second thing that's really important to note is that if the woman is experiencing an ectopic pregnancy, that's a tubal pregnancy, the baby is implanted in the fallopian tubes or somewhere else in the abdominal cavity, the RU486 abortion pill is not effective in ending that pregnancy or ultimately, you know, removing that child, because it only creates miscarriage for a more, you know, a pregnancy that's implanted in the uterus. This means that a woman might think she's miscarried, but she hasn't. And what that means, without the medical supervision that's so essential, she might end up rupturing internally, leading to her potential death and the death of her child.
So if that is, in fact, the medical consequence of extending this to 10 weeks and reducing medical supervision, why do you believe the FDA is doing this?
I think the FDA is, of course, ultimately their top appointees are from the Obama administration. As we know, the Obama administration is the most pro-abortion administration in U.S. history. And they were elected, as many folks in Congress right now and others who might have a hand in decrying or not decrying this move by the FDA. They were elected in part by a Planned Parenthood dollars, you know, a lobbying dollars. Abortion industry has interests on Capitol Hill. They have friends at the FDA, and they stand to profit because the later term they can do medical abortion, the less medical supervision is necessary, so they can profit more by having less nurses, less doctors, and being able to hand out pills, and then maybe profit again on the other side because if the procedure fails, the woman comes back for a second abortion. So all in all, this is a good moneymaker for the abortion industry.
Lila, let me get your reaction to some of the competing opinions on this. So when the FDA made its decision, the New York Times quoted the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in a statement that said it was, quote, pleased that the updated FDA-approved regimen for mifepristone reflects the current available scientific evidence and best practices. What's your rebuttal to that statement?
Well, again, there is a huge division at ACOG, and, you know, the ACOG, the American Association of Obstetrician Gynecologists, they're not one body. It's not monolith. In fact, in the last 15 years, a whole group of OBGYNs broke off from ACOG because they felt that ACOG was not putting out directives that actually served women and children, but instead they were being written by reproductive rights lawyers, and reproductive rights is, I believe, a misnomer. Ultimately, lawyers who are pro-abortion advocates and work for as lobbyists with pro-abortion organizations were basically writing the directives for OBGYN for how they should care for women and children. And that's really a shame and an injustice against women, because abortion is being touted by ACOG as somehow a positive for women, when many doctors disagree. And that's why a lot of doctors won't perform abortions. A lot of doctors don't like, you know, the fact that FDA is loosening up standards on RU46 abortion pills. So there's a lot of disagreement in the medical community, but unfortunately the pro-abortion interests have a powerful grip over at ACOG.
And that same New York Times article pointed out that the maker of RU486, I believe it's Danko Pharmaceuticals, they rebut the pro-life argument that there have been any deaths of mothers as a result of this. What are the facts here?
Well, surprise, surprise. First of all, there absolutely have been deaths, like 18-year-old Holly in California. There's more links to that information at abortionprocedures.com, our site, that link to the deaths. And the other thing is, the reporting around deaths due to abortion is notoriously poor. The CDC numbers on it are very poor, because a lot of the times a death from a failed abortion attempt might be listed as a death due to complications around pregnancy. That's what's put on the death certificate, as opposed to complications around abortion or complications due to miscarriage instead of abortion. So that's a huge other problem and whole other topic for discussion. But listen to what you just said, Greg, was so interesting. The pharmaceutical company is coming out to bat for their own drug. Surprise, surprise. Pharmaceutical companies here stand to gain. Abortionists stand to gain. Women and children lose. And that's the system that's in place right now, prevailing in our country. And the FDA, unfortunately, is propping up that system instead of challenging these pharmaceutical companies head on.
Last topic, you also wrote about this recently, Lila, and pointed out that members of Congress have asked for paperwork and other deliberations from the Food and Drug Administration about how this decision was reached, how they concluded it was safe, and so forth. How confident are you that Congress, A, can get to the bottom of this, and B, if they're not satisfied with the answers, will actually do anything about it?
It's a good question. I mean, it's an uphill battle, because Congress, the members of Congress, the committee that is dealing, and the, you know, folks like Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee and others who are standing up to the FDA and saying, what's your qualification? You know, why did you make this decision? And the pharmaceutical company, of course, is saying it's a great decision because they get to sell more drugs. So I think that the oversight from Congress is essential. The question is how effective it will be. We'll only have to wait and see. I think a lot hinges on 2016, the election this year, because the administration, as we all know, has an incredible amount of power at the FDA, an incredible amount of power with their appointees. Congress is a good balancing act, but ultimately, we really need to look at the presidency and the White House, and we need to get someone in there who cares for women and children and who are not in the pocket of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry.
Lila, we'll have to call time there. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Lila Rhodes is the founder and president of Live Action. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.